All right, guys, if you're expecting Tommy, you're going to be disappointed because me and Andre don't bicker.
Oh, we're going to bicker on this one.
Are we, Andre?
No. Not much.
We just got back from Chicago from the 2021 Auto Show.
Yes.
And we're going to give you the hottest and the not-so-hot vehicles that we saw. So, let's call it the home runs and the strikes.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. And the reason Andre's here is because, we didn't want to do two recaps. There, is two podcasts, right? Yeah. There's Talking Trucks and then there's Talking Cars or Car Talk. We thought, let's just put it all into one podcast. So we're going to be talking about trucks, and that's why Andre's here.
Yes, and it's good that the auto show season is now on.
Yeah.
Fully, completely.
Yeah, so let's start with the hits, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think the showstopper from the car point of view must have been the new Kia EV6. And by the way, guys, if you want to see our videos of these new vehicles, just go over to TFL Now. I think we did how many, 10 videos, Andre?
Yeah, well, there's about 8 of them on TFL Now, and then there's at least one on TFL Truck, because we also did the F-150 Lightning, another video there. So, yeah, we worked hard,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, so if you're wondering what an EV6 is, it's obvious.
Right there. Well, if you're watching this, you could see it, right?
Yeah. It's basically Kia's version of the IONIQ 5. And then, of course, that brings up the question, what's an IONIQ 5?
Yeah, what is that?
That's Kia's latest architecture for electric vehicles. You know, I went and did a video on the IONIQ 5 recently in California. And I got to say, Kia is really, and Hyundai, taking it to the next level with these electric cars. You know, Tesla came out with the first Model S. It must have been almost 10 years ago. And they brought a lot of innovation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like over-the-air updates.
You know, it was fast, luxurious, also charged relatively well.
Right, well, it's electric.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was just a lot of stuff that the auto industry had never seen before. So things like, you buy it direct from Tesla. And yeah, you buy it online.
Right.
The car updates itself and actually becomes quicker.
Right.
Yeah. And
overnight.
And you get rid of every button except for a few and use a giant screen. Now, all that over the last 10 years has kind of merged its way into mainstream automotive world, right?
Yeah.
But with these two cars, I think Hyundai and Kia are passing, but certainly pushing the boundaries of what an electric car should be. So let's talk about the IONIQ 5, because, that's the one that this is based on. One of the coolest features there is this ability for you to plug in an inverter into the charging port and then do things like power, your refrigerator or a coffee maker or, anything that runs on 120.
You mean like a new hybrid truck from Ford?
Yeah, but but this is an electric vehicle.
Okay, I'll give you that. No, you know what? The IONIQ 5, I actually really like the way it looks.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a hot hatch.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that hatch form, but it's also larger in person, and tell me if I'm wrong, than you would think. Because when I think hot hatch, I think about like a VW GTI. But this, and also the Kia EV6, when you come up to it, it's really wide and actually, great looking in my opinion, and kind of big.
Yeah, so the cool thing about both these cars is they're based on this new architecture, which is actually pretty cool. So the wheelbase on the EV6 is actually longer than a Range Rover. So it's super long and it's super wide, mm-hmm, which means it's super roomy. So it's
and also super handling in theory.
Well, we don't know.
Right, we haven't driven it.
We haven't driven it, but it's kind of more like, most cars are like a rectangle. These are more like a box, mm-hmm, when you look at the way, as wide as they are. And then I got to tell you, Andre, I think they just knocked out of the ballpark with styling on the EV6. Look how cool that looks. I mean, look at all those angles and, it almost looks like a sports car. It in fact is a sports sedan.
Yeah, and also it basically has a hatch in the back, and it does have this swoopy roof. And yeah, I think the design is, including the inside of it and the outside and all the lights and all the features, and they're quoting some really impressive high charging rates, right? where you can get like, you know, up to 80% of charge or up to 80% in about what, like 15 or 18 minutes or something?
Yeah, you know, this is important because we also had that same number thrown at us at the Ford. We'll be talking about the Lightning, the Maverick, because we got to check those out too. But I am actually quite miffed about what they're doing now. So what the manufacturers have decided to do is, instead of actually talking about the real charge rate, so the way you fast charge or DC charge a vehicle is based on kilowatts, mm-hmm. right? So anything from like 50 to like the fastest charging cars are now like 270 kilowatts. And that's a number, that's how much electricity you're running into the battery at any given time.
Like instantly, yeah, right, that's right. What it's receiving.
Right, yeah. And so that's a very quantifiable number, and it's a number that you can compare. So it's like a 0 to 60 number, right? And of course, the higher the kilowatt rate, the faster it charges, mm-hmm. the less time you spend at the Flying J trying to figure out what iced tea you want.
Yes.
All right. But now they've decided to do this instead, right? And Ford did the same thing. They'll say, like, the Ford Lightning, which is their new electric F-150, which we'll talk about in a sec, will be able to get 180 miles of range in 15 minutes, right? So imagine, yes. like, translate that to going to the gas pump and what they're really saying. Imagine if a manufacturer said, instead of, you know, it'll take, I don't know, whatever it is, 2 minutes, instead of like giving you an MPG number, right, what they would do is they would come to you and they would say, the Ford F-150 can get 400 miles of range after only 2 minutes of filling it up. Right? You'd be like, what does that mean? How many gallons is that?
Well, but here's the
thing.
Doesn't
define anything.
Well, here's the thing. No, I disagree to an extent because electric charging is very quite complex.
Okay.
Right? So you would think if they'd set 150 kilowatt DC charge rate for quick, fast charging, that it will be like level, always 150, right? But it goes up and down, can ramp up, it can ramp down. So if you were at a diesel pump and your nozzle was changing in size dynamically, anyway, I think...
But nobody would put up with that, right? You wouldn't be like, if a manufacturer rep said, you can get 200 miles of range after only 45 seconds of filling. That's useless. That means nothing to me. No. Instead of saying you can get this many gallons in, right, or this is the size of the fuel tank, which is actually the size of the battery, right? If we're extending that analogy, that's the size of the size of the fuel tank would be directly equivalent to the kilowatt hours of an electric car's battery.
Yeah, but a gallon doesn't mean much to me. I want to know how far it can go.
Yeah, and you want to know how fast it can charge, right? So that's when that kilowatt number becomes important.
I don't know if we're going to agree on this.
Okay, that's fair. I just think it's marketing mumbo jumbo.
But it's very complicated. I agree with you there because, 25 mpg, I can understand that. But, I can compare it to something else.
But it's actually relatively straightforward, right?
What?
So let me help our viewers here, right? So if you're charging at 50 kilowatts,
yes.
Then, you know, if you want to charge twice as fast, how fast would you have to charge?
At 100. But what happens
four times
after...
as fast.
Okay, but what does that mean to me? Can I go across country or can I go down the street?
So what that means is, right, that charging curve is directly, so there's a curve when electric cars charge, and usually the last 20% takes the longest. But that means that, let's say the car is capable of charging, let's pick a number, which they never do, but let's say it's capable of charging at 250 kilowatts, right? As that curve goes down, then that number goes down as well. So you might be at 250 kilowatts until 80% ideally, and then you would drop to, you know, 200, 150, 100. And so that number directly equates to how much energy is going into the car versus some kind of, you know, this ethereal number as how long it's going to take you to get this many miles. And the other problem with that number, Andre, is, you know, we just drove a Porsche Taycan from California to here.
Yeah.
So Porsche will say you can get 150 miles in 10 minutes, but we were barely able to get 70 kilowatt charging rates on most of the chargers we stopped at, even though they were capable of 350. And then the problem, of course, is even harder because you don't know if there's a handshake that takes place when you charge a car between the charger and the car, right? And so you don't know if the car is saying, hey, my batteries aren't warm enough, or, you know, I can only take in this much energy, or the charger is like, hey, I only have this much energy I can give you because, you know, we're being throttled because of whatever.
Yeah.
So you don't know which one it is.
Yeah, but it's
complicated.
It is complicated. But then again, you know, if you're telling me 100 kilowatts is your maximum speed at this moment, I also need to know what my battery size is. let's say it's 100 kilowatt hours. So if you're maintaining 100 kilowatt charge rate for an hour, you'll be full.
Right.
Right. So let's just say that's the easiest way.
Okay. Yeah.
Just know what your battery is. If it's 100 kilowatt hours, you'll know that DC charging at 100 kilowatts. And if you're sitting there for an hour, you'll be full.
I guess, anyway, the reason I jumped off on this is you said it's got a very fast charge rate.
Yes.
But I have learned to take that number with a huge grain of salt. I've been in enough electric car launches now to know that the manufacturer will say, this can charge in 15 minutes and give you 800 miles of range. And then you actually get to the charging station, and it's sipping in electricity at 50 kilowatts. And you're like, where's that 800 miles of range in 15 minutes?
No, it's not realistic at this point.
Right. Anyway, so sexy, fast. Certainly the first electric car that has taken it to Tesla in any kind of serious manner, right, where that was the GT that we were looking at, which is, by the way, coming out sometime next year. Mm-hmm. The IONIQ 5 is coming out first. And, of course, Hyundai and Kia don't want to compete against each other, so they're going to give some time before the IONIQ 5 comes out and then the EV6. I'm really excited by both cars. So coming soon. Another, of course, interesting car that everybody was, well, I wouldn't say talking about, and I'm not sure, I wouldn't say this is a hit or a miss. This is somewhere in between. Jeep rolled out their new Compass.
Yes.
We're debating whether it's a refresh or an all-new vehicle.
Yeah, we have a video, actually. We showed also on TikTok.
Yeah, also on TikTok. Yeah, we got
it. I would call it a refresh.
Yeah, because the exterior, I'm looking at it over my shoulder, but you'd be hard-pressed to tell the old one from the new one.
I think the exterior is very similar to what it was. I think it's still quite attractive crossover, but they did a lot of work on the inside, right?
Yeah, that's where the inside is like Stellantis
nice.
Now.
It's nice.
Former FCA has been really hitting me out of the ballpark when it comes to interiors. And by the way, I want to thank Jeep for lending us a Jeep Grand Wagoneer L that we drove around.
Grand
Chicago.
Cherokee.
Yeah, Grand Cherokee L.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The Grand Wagoneer comes a little bit later.
Yeah, I said Grand Wagoneer. I'm already getting the two confused. Get rid of the Grand. Anyway, yeah, Grand Cherokee L. Thank you, Jeep. Thank you, Jim Morrison, for letting us drive that around. It was great. I got to go up to my favorite wing place, Buffalo Joe's in Evanston. I went to Northwestern. I used to live there. And it's incredible that 30 years later, Buffalo Joe's has not changed, dude. And
not
Andre
at all.
Had wings. And
yeah, I was there with you.
Yeah, did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it. The sauce on the wings was just right. And, of course, the fries, the waffle fries.
King of fries, Andre.
Yeah, yeah.
Waffle, do you agree? Waffle fries, you know, I think if you were to rate fries, you know, the Freddy's string fries are my least favorite because I like ketchup, and you cannot get ketchup on those things.
But it's so thin and tiny.
It's just a smattering of ketchup. Then you get into, like, the next is are those big, steak fries.
Steak fries, yeah.
Yeah, they're too big. That's like eating a potato. Then you get into crinkle fries.
Yes.
And then, of course, McDonald's fries are pretty much the perfect fry. Except for the waffle fry, which is a Chick-fil-A and Buffalo Joe's, the king of fries.
Yeah.
That is a perfect implement for getting as much ketchup as I like my fries. Are we veering too far from the car world?
This is lifestyle blogging now.
All right. Now, this one, I'm going to go with this one being a bit of a miss, okay? And once again, we did a video on it. And I'm, of course, talking about the new package, the new Extreme Recon package they put
really?
On the Wrangler.
You're saying it's a bit of a miss?
I think the branding is a miss, yeah.
So
let's talk about what it is.
Okay.
And I think it's a miss because we profiled the 392 with it. And
we couldn't tell.
And we couldn't tell. It's unless you look at it and you can actually see the 35s, right? And then there's the only way you can really tell that this has... So basically the Bronco is coming from the factory with 35s. Let's do a little bit of background.
That's the Sasquatch package.
Right. And so now Wrangler had to compete with that. So they came out with a package where you can get 35s from the factory. But there's no real like branding on it. Basically what you get are 35s. You get
different shock. It's a small lift.
Small
right?
lift, like two inch,
one
lift,
inch lift.
Yeah.
And also a 456 gear axle ratio.
Yep.
Just to make sure you know it's geared.
Beadlock keepable wheels, I think, is one of the options.
Yep.
And then the only way you can tell, besides looking at the fact that they're 35s, is there's this little like lip on the outside of the wheel well. Spoiler, what do you call that? The fender flare?
The fender, yeah.
Because you can't, you know, the wheels are wider, so you have to have a little bit more, like, coverage.
To protect
the spray.
And it's illegal, actually. It's a regulation thing.
Yeah. But nowhere does it say
I mean, it doesn't say X. It doesn't say Extreme.
Right. It's really weird.
It doesn't say Recon. And the Jeep we actually profiled, which was this blue one that you can see on TFL Now channel, that was, you know, that was like the Extreme, the most, the ultimate Wrangler, because not only did it have the 392, the big Hemi 6.4 liter, 470 horsepower, it also had the Extreme package on it, the Recon package with 35s. And yes, the branding is weird. The name is weird itself. But how much would this cost? That's 77 grand for the V8 Wrangler plus about $4,000 for the package, for the tires.
77 is that's the starting price of the 392.
Yes, you're in the 80s.
No, you're in the hundreds when you add the $20,000 dealer markup.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's absolutely crazy right now what's happening with new car prices, especially with hot new car prices. So let's keep going. Another miss, I think, and this isn't really Ford's fault. So the car is a hit, but because of the way the world works now, I'm going to call this a miss. So Ford had the latest Heritage Edition livery GT. I'm talking about the supercar, right, that Ford rolled out a few years ago.
Ford GT, yes.
Ford GT. And, of course, the way they rolled it out, and this is why I think the car is a miss, because I love actually having cars as cars and not cars as commodities or as works of art, right? So they rolled this car out, and then you had to qualify, so you had to go to Ford, and then you had to basically agree that you wouldn't resell it. Then, of course, John Senna got one and resold it right away and got in a lawsuit, which he eventually won. There are people buying these cars, and this has nothing to do with actually the car itself, right? Whether the car is any good, whether it's any quick. You know, the things I've seen and read about it are there's not enough legroom in the wheel well. Right, that's the biggest criticism I've seen. It's a strikingly beautiful.
Dude, I had an opportunity to drive one of these, not the Heritage models,
right?
But I went to the Woodward Dream Cruise.
Talk to me about it. I had no clue.
This was 2 years ago.
Get out.
You remember this?
I forgot.
Yeah. Anyway, and our friends at Ford, you know, they had a booth there, and I was able to get into one. And dude, it was. So quick, you cannot drive it on a boulevard because you're going instantly, you're going 60 miles an hour and you want to go faster because the car is so capable. Yes, it's a little bit tight. You know, I'm about 6'2", just a little bit over that, and it's a little bit tight, but it was an amazing experience. Then I turned it into track mode. And by the way, Gian, one of the representatives from Ford, was sitting next to me because this car is about $400,000.
We don't know. There was no price. We don't know.
Well, we don't know on this one.
We asked actually all the Ford people how much
and is it. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew how much it cost. Yeah, that was hilarious. I was like,
well, because it's priceless.
Okay, so you keep going with your story.
So one more thing I'll tell you about the story. I put it into track mode, and then we went in these kind of a winding road. We went north, so out of town from Woodward, and I forgot I was in track mode. I was just having fun, you know, the sound, the acceleration, it was amazing
EcoBoost,
to drive.
3.5
it's a twin turbo engine, yes.
600 horsepower, if I remember right.
Plus, it's
plus,
like over 650 horsepower.
Maybe, yeah.
And those little overcrest, I was coming
Did
up
jump
on
it?
This hill. No, and it got a little bit loose.
Mm.
And I was able to bring it in. It was very controllable. But in the back of my head, I was thinking, because like the traction control is disabled, basically, in track mode. In the back of my head, I was thinking, wow, what are you doing, Andre? Why?
So I'm jealous, Andre.
Yes.
I'm very jealous. But here's why I think it's a miss, okay? The problem with that car is it's no longer a car, right? People don't drive them because it's worth a lot more than what Ford is selling it for. And I don't know how a manufacturer deals with that. Maybe you up the price. But even with this, you know, weird contract where you have to be approved to buy one, right? The problem is we know people – actually, I know two people who own one. And I've asked both of them whether they drive it. And these are both kind of people in my business. And for the most part, one barely drives it and one kind of drives it. Because the problem, in a nutshell, is the second you put miles on it, you're taking value out of it. So I just don't get the point of a car that, you know, isn't
you
such an
drive.
Investment
yeah.
that you don't drive. Then it's not a car anymore. It's like a bar of gold and you're waiting for the price of gold to go up.
Yeah, I agree.
Just get the gold or whatever you want. But you know, if you can't drive the car, if Ford built this incredible supercar and all it is like stored in people's garages or in museums, and then every so often it makes an appearance at like one of the auctions, right?
Or at Woodward in this case.
Or Woodward, or maybe at like Pebble Beach. What's the point of it? If you can't drive it, if you can't share it, if you can't, you know, experience it for what it is. I mean, if I don't think anybody's tracking them, God help you, right? Which is what they're built for.
Yes.
So I'm like, I don't know. At that point, Ford, maybe what Ford should do, and Ford knows better, I have no clue, is just, you know, put $1 million price tag on it and say whoever wants it, buy one from now on.
And I think people will, probably.
Yeah. But like this thing where you got to get approved. And the reason you got to get approved is so that, because it's supposed to be like a showpiece for Ford, so they want people with like a audience or, you know.
Or some sort of status.
Or something. The whole thing feels very un-American to me.
You know,
very un-Ford-like.
But also Ferrari does stuff like this, right?
Right.
Where you have to own another Ferrari in order to buy the next Ferrari. And how do you get the Ferrari?
It just seems like it's not on brand, right? So to me, Ford has always, and I think it's this way in the UK and the rest of the world, has always been the everyman car, right? Henry Ford, you know, basically brought the car
to
the masses. And now we've got this car that is available only to a select few who then don't drive it, who then only exchange it among themselves or among richer versions of themselves. And to me, that's you know, it's a beautiful car. I guess, you know, if you can let the free market be the free market for it, put a $2 million price tag on and sell it, you know, so at least you're recouping all the money you're putting into building it. I don't think you're hurting your brand, but I don't think you're helping your brand either.
It's still a gorgeous car.
It's a beautiful car, yeah. All right, let's keep going with some of the other cars.
Yeah.
So the other one that actually, you know, is very near and dear to my heart, and this is the first time I actually got hands-on with it and I got to sit in it, is, of course, the Prototype Z.
Oh, yes.
And now the thing about the Prototype Z is Nissan confirmed to us that it's 95% of the new Z. So
of the production
version. Yeah, you're looking at the production version, right?
Yeah.
And I think that they knocked out of the ballpark. For a long time, the 350, the 370 has kind of been dying on the vine, right? I don't think Nissan has put their best or brightest engineers on it. The GT got all the limelight. But this new Z is spectacular. It's being unveiled at the New York Auto Show.
In mid-August,
so yeah. We're very close to it. But the car, especially in that yellow, is just spectacular. If I could have, I would have bought one right there on the spot. But we don't know.
But it's not for sale yet.
It's not for sale. We don't know the power. We don't know the horsepower number. That's yet to be unveiled. But as a Z, I think it's kind of brought it back to what a Z should be, which is, you know, the ultimate sports car that's built by Nissan. Long hood. I would have loved to see a straight
really
six.
Sexy.
It's
yeah.
a V6 twin turbo.
Right.
But yeah, you know, and unlike the GT86 we recently saw in Texas in Plano at Toyota headquarters, or more importantly, the Supra,
right.
I actually fit. Me and you actually fit, right? We both sat in it, and we had enough headroom and enough shoulder room. Andre's 6'3", I'm 6'2". Quite astounding.
Yeah, it's a really cool car, and I cannot wait to see the production version and learn exactly what the power numbers are. There's a lot of guessing on this, right? Some people are saying, you know, 400 horsepower. Some people are saying less or more. The price is still not, you know, published publicly. But it's kind of a, what do you think about this? Because it's a beautiful car. It's got lots of heritage and history. But it's a gasoline-powered coupe.
I would have gone all EV if I was Nissan.
It's
but
a gasoline-powered coupe in this climate.
Yeah, it's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
I would have gone EV and just, you know, taken it to the next level. It's going to go there anyway, so might as well be the first to be there. As far as I know, outside of, like, the European car company, the Navara, the new version of, I think it's used to be called the C2. There are no electric sports cars that you can buy, except for the Roadster.
Well the Tesla Roadster.
Yeah, but that one's not available yet. The first one, but they only sold like 1,800 of them.
Well, how do you define sports car? Are you talking about two doors?
I'm talking about two-door sports car. There are no all-electric sports cars, unless you're talking about the hypercars, which I don't want to talk about, or the Roadster. So, there, you know, the manufacturer is always looking for white space. There you have it.
Yeah,
Nissan could have been the first, but anyway, I don't care. It's beautiful, it's sexy, and I certainly want one. So that's definitely a hit. Andre, I'm going to say the biggest miss of the entire show.
Yeah, what's that?
Was a show. Sorry, Chicago. You're my hometown. I love the show. You know, I used to go there as a kid because in the middle of winter, it was just brilliant to get and check out new cars when everything was dark and cold and frozen tundra in the middle of February. But now, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Andre, but it was the exact opposite. So first of all, I think because of COVID, we got to give them a break. But nevertheless, I think we have to talk about it. So I'm going to give you a break.
It's funny.
It's funny. It was like trying to film literally in the middle of a train station. All I was expecting was like train to Berlin, leaving track four now. Not only were they building the show as we were trying to like film and look at new cars and cars were being built, right. Literally building it, right? So every 2 minutes there was, you know, one of those cherry pickers
moving.
And not just like, but I don't want to do it as loud as possible. But, you know, can you imagine it? Then when those weren't going off, car alarms were going off.
Yes.
So it was
drills.
Like, yeah, drills.
Drills were going off.
And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I was so hot. Middle of summer, Chicago, 100% degree of humidity, and they didn't turn the air conditioning on. So it got so bad, Andre, that it got funny because I was like, you were sweating. You had your jacket on.
Yes.
You had to take it off immediately.
Yes.
You couldn't.
It was sweated about nine times.
90 degrees on the show floor. and then ironically, right, like at 2 o'clock for some reason, they decided that it was like so hot that people would start spontaneously combusting. That they didn't turn the air conditioning on, but they turned these massive fans on in the roof.
There's like 7 foot wide, massive fans.
So then it was like trying to film videos in the middle of the busiest Berlin train station next to the local airport.
Yes.
It was
like a jet engine taking off.
It was. It was mind-boggling, and we were just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Can I say something?
Yes.
So first of all, COVID is to blame.
Yes.
Right, because normally the show is in February and it takes many, many weeks to prepare it and set it up. They had to squeeze it into July between other shows and other things that were happening. So they actually allowed the journalists to come in while they were building it. And they were worried. Remember, they told us to only walk in a certain places.
Yeah, they're going
to
hurt us.
They're going to hurt us.
Why do you want to hurt people in the middle of COVID? Don't you want the opposite?
But it was because they were afraid things would fall on our heads from construction crews building, I don't know, lights and all this stuff in their studios.
So you know, let's face it. Even before COVID, the auto show was dying a slow death, right? If an auto manufacturer wanted to unveil a new car at an auto show, it was like $1 million.
At least,
yeah.
Minimum.
I was doing a little bit of thinking. I was like, how would I reinvent the auto show, right? And I had one brainstorm.
Okay, what is it?
Get better food. If you're going to have people, don't get those like crappy 5-day-old hot dogs that you have to stand in line for, right?
Yeah.
I, you know, it could be like a culinary and automotive experience, but every auto show I've ever been to, the food is beyond bad. And yeah, you have to fight
like
for it.
It's like cafeteria food, basically.
Yeah, so come on, auto shows. Yeah. If nothing else, improve the food. It can't be that hard to have like food that people would actually look forward to. Imagine like, hey, cool cars and good food, as opposed to cool cars and cold fries.
And no air conditioning.
And no air conditioning.
By the way, if you're going there, or you probably already went, because this is right after the show, the show is going to be air conditioned.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. But for us, it wasn't.
For us, it wasn't.
We hope. Maybe they won't. I don't know. Maybe they're afraid of spreading COVID around.
They're killing it with temperature.
Well, the thing about this podcast is by the time that this airs, the show will be over, Andre.
Well, why don't we launch it sooner?
I think people in Chicago know the show's happening.
Okay.
And we've got 10 videos from the show that already are helping to promote it. So I think we've done it.
So, dude, before we get to trucks, I really want to talk about trucks.
Yeah, but
there's another car.
There's two more cars.
There's two more cars.
Two more cars. And this is I'll let you talk about them, because for those of you who don't know,
Andre's a fan.
A big Volkswagen fan. So why don't you talk about, and are they hits or misses? Let me know. What do you think?
Ooh, okay.
Tell them the two cars and if they're hits or misses.
Yeah. So we're talking about the brand new 2022. This is Mark 8.
Mark 8, yeah.
VW GTI and VW Golf R. Basically, they're high-performance cars, and I'm going to pull up an image in a second. But I was worried. Okay, going into the show, I knew we were going to see the new Mark 8 GTI. I used to have a Mark 4 Golf, as you know. I also owned an Audi 5000 in the past, the Quattro. I've owned the GTI. I'm sorry. I've owned a VW Jetta GLI Mark II for a little while.
I'll talk for a little bit. You find them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for all of you golf fans, Volkswagen is not bringing in the Golf. I guess it's not selling well enough, but they are bringing in the two hot hatches. So you can get a GTI and you can get a Golf R. And pricing-wise, if I want to say the Golf GTI is 30K, right?
Just it under, starts at 30 and goes
starts
higher.
Starts at 30, and then the Golf R starts at about 45.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
So this is the GTI, and we saw it. And the reason why I was worried, in the picture, like this picture you see behind us here, I'm not in love with the styling. It looks a little like down, the nose is kind of pointing down, it's got small headlights. And I was worried, but in person, it actually looked better than I expected.
Well, you don't see the little LED lights that light up underneath.
It has like little fog lights also.
Yeah, yes. A little honeycomb. There's like little four little lights. They're also replicated in the tail of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Do you like the style? Yeah, I thought in person they were brilliant. I sat behind the wheel. That wheel is exactly what I would want, thick and meaty. They've gone to now, of course, a touchscreen, and they've gone to this little like toggle switch, which is really weird for the automatic transmission. But you can get them either in manual or automatic. So if you don't want the little weird toggle switch,
you can get a six-speed.
Yeah. I would, if it was in Colorado, I thought they were brilliant. I thought they were hits. We haven't driven them, but just from sitting behind the wheel and looking at them, I'd probably go for the GTI if I weren't in Colorado. In Colorado, you do need the all-wheel drive, but, you know, they're the right size. Germans built – maybe I'm just getting old and fat, Andre, but every car I get into now, it seems like I don't fit. But it's not my belly. It's my head, right? I just can't get comfortable. I have this weird, like, tall body with short legs.
And usually German cars are built for taller people.
But these cars – yeah, these cars I fit into. We even fit in the rear seats. The styling is very kind of minimalist, but it's definitely, you know, an evolution, not a revolution.
Yeah.
But I immediately was like, where can I find 30K and buy one of these?
But I wouldn't give it a total hit.
Okay.
And you know why? Because the Golf and the GTI were always, or at least the Golf, was about good value.
Yeah.
Right now it starts at 30K, and if you want to load the GTI up with options, you're looking at 35, 36, 37K. It's already getting pricey. They do have more power, though. The GTI has about 241 horsepower, and the R has about 315. And then the R is 45 grand. You know, for 45 grand, I mean, you could potentially buy, you know, a lot of other vehicles too.
You're getting like you're getting the four cylinder Supra price. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you're approaching a certain,
which might be more higher performance, et cetera.
So I appreciate that they're doing this. They're bringing us the hottest hatches of them all.
It could be worse. It could be like, hey, we're going to bring the Golf, but not the GTI or the Golf.
And then it would be bitching again.
Yeah, then we'd be bitching. Yeah. So yeah. At least they're still available. I'm grateful for Volkswagen. I love them. I can't wait to drive them, Volkswagen. So if you can get us behind the wheel, please, you know my number. Give me a call. And the other thing about like the Golf R is in the past, the Golf R in Europe and the Golf R here were very different. So they kind of kept the best in Europe, right? But now, at least the Volkswagen PR people were telling me that they're about as close as possible. They're both made in Wolfsburg, which is where, you know, Volkswagen's headquartered. Mm-hmm. So they're German-made hot hatches. And, yeah, I love them.
I think it's time to switch to trucks.
I think you're right. I think it is time to switch to trucks.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about here before, we go to, like, the Lightning that we mentioned is the Ram lineup. Because Ram had several 2022 trucks, 2022 model year trucks. They had their new Backcountry model, which is kind of a little bit better value four-wheel drive V8 truck, which is meant for overlanding and off-roading. Then they had their GT, which is their new kind of a little bit more higher performance Ram Rebel or Ram Laramie.
It's kind of
trucks.
If you can look at it like a TRX without the Hellcat powertrain or the Bilstein shocks.
Yes, and the wide body.
And the wide body.
It's kind of like almost the mid-step between the regular Ram and the full-on TRX.
You get the same shifter. You get a lot of...
You get a performance air intake system, performance exhaust. You get your performance pages, all the software.
Do you think the controversy for that one is a lot of other of our colleagues are saying you should never put the moniker GT onto a truck.
True. Well, I would agree.
Excuse me, Andre.
It's okay.
Because that stands for Grand Tour, right?
Yeah, and it has other connotations, yeah, like Challengers or, you know, Dodges, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of a weird one. What would you call it? What other name could we come up for?
TR.
Yeah, with no X.
Yeah. That's what I would call it.
And that name, you know what I hoped the GT would be?
What?
I hoped it would have the big Hemi, the 6.4.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not. It's still a 5.7 liter Hemi. So I understand maybe why they're not putting the 6.4 liter, maybe because of fuel efficiency regulations or etc. But I really wished you could get the big V8 in this truck.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, there's one more.
There's a limited now. Their most luxurious truck is now the 10th anniversary of their limited lineup of trucks. So they're celebrating it for 2022 with an additional, you know, their interiors are amazing. And they're taking the limited Ram 1500 interior to the next level, well above, you know, the material quality is amazing and everything in the seats and the headliner. So there's a lot going on, but no new engines, right? So still the V6, still the V8, still the EcoDiesel 3-liter turbo diesel is still there. I specifically asked you changing your engine lineups, and they said no. They're introducing the new Uconnect 5 system, which is their infotainment system to the new truck. And actually, the backcountry is pretty interesting because it starts at about 41 grand.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a quad cab, four-wheel drive V8 truck. Dude, it's less expensive than the Golf R.
Yeah, true that. Yeah. So hit or miss or something in between?
I would say in between. Yeah, I would have loved to see either different engines or something else that pops.
You know what would have popped? Like a Power Wagon with a Cummins.
That would have popped the show.
You think, you know, with Ford putting basically a Tremor package onto their diesel Super Duties, that would spur
Ram
to do the same thing, but
and
no.
You know what? I asked, do you have any heavy-duty news?
Yeah.
And they said, wait.
Oh.
So they said, not at the show, but maybe sometime soon. So maybe they're cooking something still.
Yeah, that's...
We'll have to figure that out.
I would love to see that. I think a lot of people have been asking for that forever. So let's talk about the showstopper.
Yes, what is it?
I think the showstopper was the Lightning, the EV truck. But before we talk about the showstopper, I think the one that a lot of people are like really curious about, because it's affordable, of course, is the new Maverick. So let's talk about the Maverick. They had the first edition there, which is basically a truck that is unibody, built on the Ford Bronco / Escape platform.
Bronco Sport, yeah.
Bronco Sports, right?
Bronco Sport. We have to be very, very precise.
So it's like an extended Bronco Sport / Escape platform. Yeah. And it's a compact truck.
And for some reason, when I was reviewing it, I was blue. I'm not quite sure why.
Well, you weren't sad, Andre. People are listening to this. You were badly lit.
Well, we were in the Ford booth, and they had every blue light was focused on this area. So I looked really blue.
Yeah. So let's start with that. You know, it starts at 19,000, which is incredible.
Yeah, and this is a hybrid we're talking about.
This is the hybrid. There are two engine choices.
Yeah, so let's just go down the line. It's a weird animal, right? Because it's kind of a crossover pickup truck or pickup with a hybrid powertrain with up to 40 mpg possible. It's front-wheel drive only. For some reason, they're not doing an all-wheel drive hybrid. And you can kind of see some of the video from the show if you're watching this podcast.
Hey, now that you moved back, you're no longer blue.
Now I'm better.
You're better, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy because
there's also a 2-liter turbo.
Yeah, this is the craziest show, right? We're there, and all the Ford people are like taller than me. That was a crazy... I'm taller than Andre. So if you look, the guy who was the product manager for the Maverick,
Trevor Scott,
was this really nice dude, and he's like 6'5".
Yes.
And then the product manager for the Lightning is this British dude.
6'5".
6'5", yeah. And so the coolest part about this video is all three of us cram ourselves into the Maverick. 6'2", 6'3", 6'5".
And we all fit.
And we all fit, yeah. So you would think that like the last thing that a compact truck would have is room for three, you know, tall guys.
Yeah. And it was amazing. Yeah.
You think we exceeded the payload?
No, I think we're okay.
You sure?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I think it's about 1,500 pounds. Oh, I hope three of us did not weigh 1,500 pounds.
But thank God Nathan wasn't there. And Tommy in the back on the mountain bike.
Wow. Anyway, but everybody was kind of losing their, you know, their minds. They wanted to see the first
I wasn't trying to make fun of Nathan's weight. I was like one more person, and Nathan was the next one that came. Sorry, Nathan, I didn't mean to make fun of you. That wasn't my intent. I just thought it'd be funny
Nathan
to have one more person.
We'll get back at you, Roman.
He will
eventually.
Get back at me.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though I didn't mean to. Fix it in post.
It's okay. Fix it in post. So everybody really wanted to see the first edition, which I thought originally was going to be like the loaded model, you know, with a turbo engine and all-wheel drive. Apparently, you can get a first edition in a hybrid for about $32,000.
Yeah.
So it's actually approachable, you know, pretty affordable. For $32,000, you're getting a thing with a bed, four doors, five seating for five.
So, when you say affordable and gettable, actually the GTI and the Golf R are coming out next quarter.
Yes.
Fourth quarter. And so is this.
This is supposed to be
the same supposed to be available by the end of this year.
Yeah.
Same thing. So it's gettable. Unlike, you know, like the Rivian.
which keeps being delayed.
Which just got delayed again until September. And of course, unlike the Lightning, which won't be probably till sometime next year.
In the spring or summer.
Yeah. So, but this is actually, this is like out of the, you know, the hottest vehicles out there, Bronco, which was gettable until they stopped production.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll bring it back. Then, of course, this is hopefully gettable if they actually, you know, build it. The Rivian, supposedly September, but it was supposed to come out in 2019. So I'm going to take that with a grain of salt.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the Lightning next year sometime.
Right.
So there are all these hot vehicles that, you know, are quote-unquote gettable and people have put money down. I wonder how long before, like, people get really sick and tired of, like, waiting for their dream vehicle. And that includes the Cybertruck, right? So Mr. Musk this week tweeted that he hopes to have some, like, prototypes running around by the end of the year and that it's going to be very much like the prototype. So we all speculated that they couldn't build it like that light that goes all the way across. That's illegal.
Right.
You can't do that. So we shall see. But I don't know about you, dude, but I'm getting very tired of all the hype and none of the actual.
I think Tesla is even further behind because Rivians, you know, they've been running, the prototype's been running for months or years. You know, you guys, the viewer, you guys who watch channels, you guys are sending us images of Rivian trucks all over the country, California, New York, everywhere. I haven't seen a single Tesla prototype.
So I'll break the news here. You'll see the video pretty soon.
Yes.
You know, we just basically sold our Model Y. And so the idea, Model Y.
Okay.
Which was, you know, we sold it for, we bought it for basically $64,000, right? And the idea was we would take that money and roll it into another vehicle. One of the hot ones. So in my head, in the perfect world, I thought, well, we'll get a Bronco. That doesn't look like it's going to happen, unfortunately.
No.
Then I thought, well, we'll get a Rivian.
That's not happening.
Cybertruck's not happening.
Tundra is not happening.
I
mean, Tundra is supposed to be here by December, right?
Right. And it's not like, we were weird because, first of all, we don't need a car, so we're not like you in that regard. We can just put the money in the bank and wait for it to come around. But unfortunately, our business is based
cars.
Cars
and trucks.
And reviewing, the lightest and the hottest new cars. And so, you know, we don't want to put that money in the bank because it's not actually, it's losing money. You're not getting any interest on it. Whereas if we buy a new vehicle and then we can create videos around it. So we ended up buying, and I know this is going to be probably shocking to some, but it's a car that I kind of fell in love with. And sometimes it's not about, you know, what's the hottest car out there, but what's the most interesting car that I liked. And it's going to be the new Mini Electric.
The SE.
The SE, which isn't new. It's 2 years old now. But it was gettable. And Tommy and I are flying down to Albuquerque. We found one in Albuquerque, and we're going to try to road trip it back. And it's got, get this, they increased the range from 110 to 114. For 2022.
Who increased it? The government?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
I wish you the best of luck.
So I wish I could announce here that we're buying a Tundra, a Cybertruck, a Rivian, a Bronco, a Maverick.
But none of that is true.
As far as I could tell, all that is unobtainium. Yeah. And think about that, Andre. It's even unobtainium for us. So I was talking to Ford, and I said, hey, this is what we do, guys. You know, we go to the manufacturers, and we say, we would love to make your truck, car famous, right? give us the opportunity to buy one, you know, and I know I'm asking to be put in the head of the line, but then, you know, most people don't have over a million subscribers on their car channel and like 30 million views every month, right?
Right.
So, you know, the thinking is, you know, we'll take it for a year, we'll do like stuff that most people probably won't be able to do with it, which is directly compare, let's say it's a Bronco, you know, to the Wrangler, to the Defender.
Take it to Moab.
We'll take it to Moab, you know, we'll MPG it, we'll tow with it, right? Stuff that most owners will do. Here are the top five things I love about it and hate about it. But we can certainly go much deeper, and then we can do a thorough review of it, you know, put numbers, not just impressions, but numbers to those impressions. And so I can open the door, and then, you know, Ford was like, well, every one of them is spoken for, and that's all I can do. I can be like, I can open the door, you know. We could probably make that the most, if it's a Bronco, Ford, if you're listening, we could probably make that the most famous Bronco you've ever built. I think that's fair.
Like 5 million views?
Probably, yeah.
More,
or, yeah. And I like the GT, we won't put it in our garage.
We'll be using it.
And we won't sell it, you know, to flip it. You know, we'll keep it for a year, and we'll do a thorough review of it. But that's all we can do. And, you know, I think by bringing these vehicles and putting all this effort into the review and, you know, all this video production, maybe that's worth, you know, putting us at the front of the line. I guess that's up to you. But at this point, you know, we're going to be doing a mini SE review. And I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Thank you, BMW.
And by the way, we usually make the same offer to all manufacturers.
All manufacturers, yeah.
Not just Ford. You know, we are talking to Toyota. We're talking to Nissan and Hyundai, right? So yeah, it's not just, you know, we're focused on one thing like the Bronco.
And I'm hoping actually that there might be a Santa Cruz in our future. I'm hoping. Once again, I don't want to say it because until it's here at the studios,
right?
You know, things can go. But maybe there. You know, I'd love to do a long-term review on at least a Santa Cruz, if not some other off-roady vehicles. Because once again, you know, the amount of audience and the amount of production we put into it is spectacularly high. So anyway, let's go back to the Maverick. That's enough of my self-indulgence.
Okay.
I was impressed by it, Andre. I was super impressed. You know, I thought there were a lot of clever features. I was amazed that we could all fit in it. There's that like water bottle holder that holds a liter bottle of water.
Yeah, the doors are kind of clever.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a good looking truck. It looks like a trucky version of a Bronco Sport. Would you say, is that right?
Yeah, I would agree.
The 4 foot bed, which is pretty standard.
Four and a half foot. Yeah, yeah.
And you could put a mountain bike in there. If you open the tailgate, you could probably do a dirt bike.
Yeah.
Towing capacity, 4,000, right?
Yeah, not a lot. But
not a lot,
if
no.
You need more, you would buy a Ranger or something else, right?
Yeah, you'd do a Ranger.
So yeah, I was also very impressed. Yeah, some materials are maybe not the best,
Keep in mind, we were sitting in the nicest, most expensive.
Yeah, that one was about 36,000.
Yeah, we were in the first edition. That had all the bells and whistles. Yeah.
It was a Lariat,
turbo,
all-wheel drive,
everything. Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure the $19,000 one will be a little bit more...
Steelies.
Yeah, plain
it's
Jane.
On Steelies.
Which is fine, though. I would love that.
Yeah.
We've been buying these vehicles. We've been trying to buy everything you need, nothing you don't.
Right.
So
a Maverick on Steelies would be perfect.
By the way, that went out the door with the Mini.
What?
Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Oh, well, but you didn't have a choice.
I had no choice.
I mean, it's not like they said, you can buy a base electric Mini or the one with a lot of options.
It was just the one with options. It's been, you know, the other thing I've noticed, and this is a whole other show, so I won't go too far into it, but trying to buy vehicles now, a lot of dealers are taking this time to bring out the worst in them. Right, the worst instincts. You know, dealers, I'll just give you one example. I was trying to buy a Mini out of California from a dealer in Orange County, I believe. And I said, I'll pay you a sticker. I understand these things are hard to get. And then they sent me the sticker, and they had included $1,000, Andre, for low jack and some film protection. And I'm like, I don't want a low jack. You know what a low jack is? It's
a monitor, basically.
It's like, it's an Apple tile. And I think the Apple tile is actually better because every time you drive or walk by an iPhone, it knows where you are. So you take a little $25 tile, hide it in your vehicle somewhere, you know. And the other problem with a low jack is, first of all, police don't track stolen cars. All right, they'd be like, yeah, don't you have insurance?
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth our time. So I'm like, I don't want that. And they're like, oh, too bad. It's already in there. And they wanted $1,000 for that. And it just makes you feel, I got to be honest. Every time I pick up the phone and call a dealer, I'm just dreading it. You know, I'm just dreading it because of stuff like this, right? you go to the Apple store, and it'd be like going to the Apple store and the Apple guy saying, yeah, we've got this iPhone for $1,000, but it's going to cost you $1,100 because we've got a Hello Kitty foam protector on there. And you're like, hey, can you take it off? No, sorry. $1,100, you got to have the Hello Kitty foam protector.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. And it's so like it makes you feel stupid, and it makes you depressed, and it makes the buying experience so unnecessarily stressful. And especially now with, you know, so much hunger for new cars and so little demand, a lot of dealers are taking advantage of it, and it's bringing out the worst in dealers. I'm sure there are other dealers that it's bringing out the best in, like
Johnson's.
Well,
we know some of them.
We know some of them, you know, that are actually doing well with it. But, yeah, it's just been a very – and I'm sure I'm not the only one. You know, if you're watching this or if you're listening to it, go on to the YouTube channel, TFL Talk, and let me know in the comments below your experiences with buying a new car, if you've bought one in the last month or two.
Yeah.
Better yet, you know, I don't want to shame bad dealers.
Don't name them.
I want the opposite. Give me the good dealers you've worked with that have been excellent, because this is where, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff. Let us know by name the dealers that have been, like, you know, fair and honest and have actually worked with you to try
and
to
open,
get you an open, where you don't feel like you're going into combat when you're going to buy a new vehicle. Anyway, enough of that, Rand.
Let's
jump to the Lightning. I think that was the showstopper on the truck side.
I think so. And a lot of journalists were just drawn to it. A lot of us, you know, like me included, we haven't actually seen it in person, right?
Yeah,
until
it was the first time was with hands-on.
And its mouth was open. So its frunk was always open, and it was hungry.
Great idea, dude. I mean, Honda did it first with their, you know, in-bed trunk.
Yeah.
But I've always had that issue. How do you safely store, like, luggage in a truck if you've got four people and you've got all their luggage, right?
And your bed is open.
And your bed is open.
Yeah.
Your stuff either going to get stolen or what? Or both.
Yes. And the frunk is perfect because there is no engine, right?
Yeah.
So, and by the way, this is Darren from Ford. I'm showing you the video.
He was like 6'8". Really cool British dude. He's the head of Ford's electrification.
Yeah, but he's taller than the open frunk.
I know.
He's way up there.
Yeah, he said he's going to be driving one pretty soon. I was jealous.
I was too.
Yeah.
I was too. Anyway, so this truck, well, first of all, why is it significant, right? So this is an electric truck. That Ford, you know, wants to actually, well, they're saying it's going to be produced next year in about springtime and on sale soon after that. And it will start right under 40 grand. I think that's a feat, you know, in itself.
Yeah.
That price looks unbelievable.
And if the government, you know, keeps the current, well, Ford's burning through their credits, right?
Because with
Mach-E.
Yeah.
But there's talk of the administration increasing that to like 12 again. But at the current state in Colorado, you basically get, I think, 2.5 state, and if you qualify, and 7.5 federal. So a $39,000 truck becomes a $29,000 truck. Dude, you can't buy a $29,000 truck.
No.
You can't.
And this is four-wheel drive.
Four-wheel drive.
Right, four-door.
Four-door.
Yeah, so this is pretty impressive. I know there will not be many of those.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
If you were able to order, or if you can order a base Lightning, good on you, because most of them at the dealerships will probably be loaded, right? Full featured, and the maximum price on a full Platinum Lightning is about 90 grand, which is expensive, but you'll have all the features, right? You know, the self-driving, semi-autonomous driving, the panoramic roofs, the reclining seats, you know, the smart hitch and everything else, and even 563 horsepower.
Yeah, no issues with like a difference. I was really surprised by how similar it was to your F-150, Andre.
Yeah.
I thought that they would make it very different inside. But basically, if you're used to the current F-150, you will not in any way be surprised by this one. And unlike yours, right, yours has, a 7.2 kilowatt
Inverter generator, yes.
In the back, but yes. This one also has another one in the front.
Yeah, so it still has a 7.2,
yeah,
and then a 2.4 additional one in the front.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of marketing mumbo-jumbo going on, so I was talking to him, and he was, you know, there's this misconception out there, and we try this, so we know this from firsthand, that you can like take an electric car, or in this case, a truck, and just plug your house into it. So if you're in Texas and your house dies, you can just drive up with a fully charged truck, and it doesn't work that way, right? You have to have a special fuse box. It's very expensive. I tried to do it at my house because I was working with Honda at the time, so I wanted to be able to like see if I could plug a generator into my house.
So and power it.
Because of the location of my fuse box, right, it would have cost several, if not more, thousands of dollars to make it capable of actually being able to take off-grid electricity. Because it's not, your house is on the grid, and you can't just like, hey, I'm going to plug in something.
Yank it off the grid. Yes.
Yeah. It's very, and Ford said that they're partnered with a company where you can actually work with them and get that done.
Yeah. They're actually going to sell you an additional like box, right, for your house.
But Honda,
to be able to do it.
Thank you, Honda. Actually sent me that box, which was $1,200.
Uh-huh.
And then I called not a residential electrician, but a commercial electrician. And they said, where's your box? And I said, it's in the basement. And they said, we're going to have to run a wire from the basement to the point where the electricity comes into your house. And just doing, imagine that. How do you
digging
run
digging or something or whatever?
I don't know.
Drilling into your
home. Yeah. How do you run a wire from my basement all the way? So imagine like, you know, here is where the box comes into the house. Here is the other side of my house. And here is the basement. So, you know, it's exactly on the other side of my house, and there's got to be some wire. So it's got to be a box in the basement, and there's got to be a wire that comes back to the garage, and then there's got to be another box basically there. It's not simple, Andre. Some houses it may be simple, but it is not like trying to – like
I can't even install a level 2 charger in
my house. Yeah, same problem.
Yeah,
right?
Because I called an electrician. I wanted level 2 charging, you know, 240 volt. And he came over and he said, $3,000, please.
Yeah.
I said, what?
Yeah, that should be like $500.
And he said, well, your fuse box is full. So I need to create another fuse box for you and then do something else.
Same thing happened in our offices.
Yeah.
It was for us. And luckily, we got these empty ceilings, right? So you can run the wire above the ceilings, right? There's nothing above them. It's just a drop ceiling. But they had to put in a whole other fuse box. And then this time, they could actually run the wire to where we needed the charger in the garage. And because we have drop ceilings, we didn't have to like go through walls and studs and plumbing and, you know, all the usual stuff. So
it's not simple.
It's not simple.
You know what I'm hoping? Because there's still a lot of new homes being built, even in Colorado and other places. I'm hoping that the new builds, you know, the homes that are built right now are actually with this in mind.
I mean,
are actually built with this.
I mean, like Solar City, right, which Tesla bought, where you actually.
Right.
So if we're talking about that, let's just kind of take one quick
detour.
One quick detour, right? So now there's this controversy going on because we need to expand the grid because electric cars are coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a controversy basically between how do you go about that? And there's two ways you could do it, right? You could run, and it takes a long time. It takes like 5 years to run bigger cables between the electrical source and where it's going, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could basically make the grid more robust, increase the capacity of the grid. Or the other way you could do it is you could localize the grid, so which is what Tesla's trying to do. So instead of actually, you know, when you come home, instead of plugging the car into your house, you could put solar panels on your house, put a battery in your house, and then your house becomes self-sufficient that way.
Yeah.
And the battery can power your house or it can charge your car, and then you don't need to expand the grid because your house is basically micro plant. It's a little micro grid of its own.
Yeah.
So that's the controversy that's happening right now. I think it's probably have to be both of those. But it's not simple. It's going to take time. And it's not like when people tell you, hey, you can plug your house into this, you could probably plug your coffee maker into it or maybe your refrigerator. So if your power goes out, you might be able to like keep your refrigerator just by running an extension cord.
And maybe some portable heaters.
Space heaters, yeah. But your house, it's going to be a whole world of pain.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a showstopper. You know, it was always had a journalist in it. You know, when we were there and everybody was really curious about it. But the jury is kind of still out until we drive it, until we tow with it, because they said it will predict, you know, depending on the trailer you
have. That was interesting. Yeah. So I asked them, you know, we try to tow with our Tesla and basically had 300 miles of range, and we were towing a light trailer, 3,000 pounds, wasn't it?
Well, we did it twice, once with a 5,000 and another one with like a light 2,000-pound trailer.
Yeah, basically, we went from 300 miles of range in the Tesla Model X, which has a 5,000-pound towing capacity, to 100. So you cut it down by two-thirds.
Yes.
And I think Ford knows that. I think it's the same thing. And I said, how do you – so, oh, gosh. All right. How do you help people who want to tow – deal with that problem. And they said, what we're doing is we're taking into account exactly what kind of a trailer you're towing and the topography that you're towing at. So we're going to give you very precise and exact range numbers so that you'll know how far you can tow with whatever you happen
before
to be towing.
Before you run out.
Which is grand, right?
But it doesn't help you charging.
It doesn't help you. There's two issues when you start to charge. Number one, the biggest issue is Tesla is the only one right now that actually has chargers that are set up for people towing, right? So you don't block a whole row of chargers when you pull into it. It's got to be, the charger has to face a different way so you
can. So you can drive through it.
So you can drive through it, yeah. So you don't park into it.
Yeah.
Which you can't do. And even if you solve that problem, which is, you know, not right now not being solved, you also have this problem because, you know, we were talking about how far usually you want to charge an electric car, which is 80%, because the last 20% takes five times as long. But if you're towing, you're going to want 100%, so it's not like you put the pump in and that hose, you know, stays the same size all the way until your tank is full, right? What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go to 100%, and that makes that quick charging almost impossible. Now you're looking at, that's when we tried towing with the Tesla, we basically came to the conclusion that we would have to drive 2 hours and charge an hour. Drive 2 hours, charge an hour. And it turned a 17-hour trip from here to this expo we were going to in Oregon into a 27-hour trip.
Yeah, and becomes undoable.
It's undoable.
And, yeah.
Who would do that? No one's going to do that.
So I think the real answer is that this is not the end-all solution.
No.
So this is a truck that's an option for somebody who doesn't go long distance. Maybe they drive around the city. Maybe it's actually a utility truck, right, for somebody as well, because they can do work from it and with it. So it's, you know, it's not going to replace every other truck on the road. There's no way.
And then there's the other thing. So, you know, there's been this great rush of people putting down deposits. I think Ford has over 100,000 on the Lightning. Tesla has over 1 million on the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Right. But to me, the big question that nobody's been able to answer is most people in America don't live in the country. Right. We live in cities.
Yes.
And most people live in big cities. Right.
So Chicago is one of them.
Yeah. Chicagoland, which sounds weird unless you're from there, has a population, I think, of about 10 million. Right. Just Chicago kind of
greater
metro area.
Yeah.
Colorado has 5. Right. So, you know, we have half the number of people in the entire state. But most people live in Chicago. How do you park? You cannot. We were driving around in Chicagoland, and every 100th vehicle was a truck because where do you park it? You can't park it in a garage. You probably have a hard time parking it in a parking structure.
And you have no driveways. Most people don't have driveways.
You don't have driveways. I don't know how you solve that conundrum. The Maverick may solve it. The Maverick you can certainly park, or the Santa Cruz in a garage. You know, I could see that being a very urban kind of vehicle, but I don't know how you so I don't know how many of those 1.1 million people have put down deposits on the Lightning, which is basically, it's an F-150. It's, you know, it's a full-size truck.
Yeah.
And Andre, I've been in the Cybertruck. I stood next to it. It's bigger than an F-150.
Really?
It's bigger. I think at least road presence-wise, it certainly looks bigger. And so I don't know where all those people are gonna park these things. So my best guess right now is a lot of people are super excited. When they finally do come out, I think, you know, there'll be a huge rush for the first 6 months, and then there'll be a lot of them on used car lots or truck lots because people will figure out that, you know,
they can't
live with it.
It's not maneuverable enough. It doesn't do what they want, basically.
Yeah.
Or they can't use it.
Or they can't live with it. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see where most of the population lives, where these things, you know.
Well,
and if you live in Texas where 1 out of 4 pickups is sold, that's a work truck down there, right? A lot of people are using them as family trucksters, but let's say you live in Texas and you're using it as a work truck. If you can charge it at home, then you're golden. You're fine. I think that's going to be golden. But if you need to tow with it, we haven't solved that issue yet. And if you need to tow heavy, we got an email, I think, today where somebody was asking us whether they could hook up a fifth wheel to the
Lightning. To the Cybertruck?
To the Lightning.
Oh, to the Lightning?
And I'm thinking to myself,
I would not recommend that.
I'm not sure it's going to be very efficient towing bumper pull. I don't know how you pull. Let's say, what's the towing capacity, 10?
10,000 maximum, yes.
Yeah, so let's say you want to go and MacGyver a fifth wheel.
You could.
You could.
You could.
And you stick a 9,000 pound.
You will not, you're not going to go very far.
How far are you going to go, even with the big battery?
50 miles?
And how are you going to charge it?
Yeah. Anyway, no, I don't think we've solved all the problems. Definitely not.
And I hate to end on a negative note, but there's one more miss.
Yeah, what's that?
I think, you know, the one that was kind of disappointing was that, you know, GM did not have the Hummer there. I was really looking forward to that.
Well, GMC Hummer was not there.
Yeah.
And also they made some news that
it,
morning.
It was the weirdest thing. We get to the show and we're ready to go, and GM has news to share with us. And I'm like, hey, that's great. We're here.
Let's go film it.
Let's go film it. What was the news? And tell them what happened.
So for 2022, they announced the Chevy Colorado Trail Boss, which is basically
big
kind
news.
Of a Z71 with a little bit of extra stuff.
Yeah.
A suspension lift, wheels and tires. Really interesting.
And they sent us exactly how many pictures?
Three.
And the truck wasn't there.
The truck was not there. So we hope to bring you that truck soon in real life, but it was not, it's not there.
So, I think we're being hard on a lot of these manufacturers. I think they're all struggling with the chip shortage.
Yes.
And with supply chain shortages.
By the way, a lot of the trucks I saw at the show, or vehicles, period, you know, some of them had small issues. You know, like they were rushed just to be there, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's no joke.
So, guys, we understand. It's easy to sit where me and Andre are sitting. and you know, the world has changed in a very important way. But, you know, one of the things, I think one of the greatest ways, and we try never to do this, even though I'm sure we also do it, is to disappoint people, is to overpromise and to underperform. And I feel like the manufacturers might be better off just to be like, hey, guys, you know, we're really working hard, but it's really super hard with, you know, supply chain issues right now. But they're promising a lot, right? So they've got, and in the past, when they promised this stuff, they would build it.
And on time.
But, yes. You know, like I said, Rivian said the truck was going to come out in 2019.
Then June, then July, now September.
Yeah. I think there's an exasperation and a frustration that's building out there among consumers. And I don't know how that ends. I don't know where that leads to. Maybe people will just, you know, keep their vehicles longer. Or maybe they, you know, maybe for the first time, if you're a Chevy guy, you'll switch to Ford. Or if you're a Ford guy, you'll switch to Ram. I don't know. Or maybe whoever can actually build the trucks that they're promising will end up with the lion's share of, you know, the new truck sales. But we live in interesting times. I don't know where this will end, Andre.
Yeah, it's a different game, definitely. It's no longer about, you know, how much you can tow, but whether you can build the truck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you build a truck, people will buy it.
Of course, we're talking about these new hot trucks that everybody's, you know, super excited about. But if you go to your local dealership, right, dealerships that on average had, let's say these mega dealerships had 500-600 trucks on the lot, maybe now have 50.
Or 25.
Or 25.
Or 30.
Yeah. And like our local Jeep deal, this is very regional. You know, for the longest time, all they had basically was like Gladiators. Right, Wranglers were gone,
yeah.
Grand Cherokees were gone. I drove by today, they had 3 Gladiators left.
Even that is going down.
Even that's going down. That's because a Gladiator is a very expensive truck.
Yes.
So anyway, thank you for watching. I hope if you enjoyed the show, let us know if you had some great dealer experiences. We want to really try to promote good dealerships, so we'd be happy to highlight all the great dealership experiences that you've had in the comments so that we know where to go to buy those trucks when they actually hit the dealership.
And cars.
All right, thanks. See you guys next time. Ciao.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.